Amen. Well, now let's get into our final message on the series, From Dream to Destiny. We've been talking about the life of Joseph in the book of Genesis, From Dream to Destiny. This is actually part four of our series. And praise God, if you miss one, you can get that on our website or our Facebook page. But we're going to go begin in Genesis chapter 41. Genesis 41. Amen. Last week, we went over the part of the story where now, praise God, Joseph has been brought out of the dungeon where he had spent 2 years. And finally, because Pharaoh had some serious dreams and he needed the interpretation of those dreams, finally, the cupbearer remembered Joseph, who interpreted his dream, and now he remembers Joseph from the prison from 2 years earlier and says, Pharaoh, there's a guy who can interpret this. Well, last week we went over the dream that Pharaoh had, and of course you know there was seven fat, good-looking, strong cows coming out of the Nile River, and then later there was seven ugly, skinny cows coming out, and the ugly, skinny cows ate up the fat cows. Right after that, he dreamed again. There was a stalk of grain with seven big full heads, and then another stalk coming up with seven weak and dying heads, and the seven dying heads ate up the full ones. And he was very distraught because the dream was so vivid and real that finally Joseph came up out of the prison. They cleaned him up, shaved his head, got him ready, presented him to the king of all of Egypt. And he was able to say, hey, I can't do this, but I know the one who can. Amen. He knew he had a relationship with God the Father. He was one of the chosen, praise God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He had a dream and a destiny. He had been through the pit. He had been blessed in the palace. He got falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. He got thrown into the dungeon. But Joseph stayed faithful, whether he was in the pit, whether he was in the palace, or whether he was in the dungeon. All of this was preparing him for his destiny. Amen. And so now he's being brought out. This time he's interpreting the dream, not for his brothers or not for the baker or the cupbearer, but now he's interpreting the dream of the king, the Pharaoh of all of Egypt, who was like the leader of the known modern world at the time. Anyway, praise the Lord. So he interprets the dream and he lets him know, O king, this is one dream and the same. God wanted to make sure that you knew it was going to come to pass, so he gave it to you twice. And it means there's 7 years of abundance coming, and it's going to be blessed. The harvests are going to be blessed all over the land, and God's going to bless this land for those 7 years. But after that, there's going to be 7 years of famine, which are going to be so bad that it's going to eat up the abundance, where the abundance won't even be remembered. There's going to be nothing in the land. It's going to be hard. There's going to be starving. There's going to be death. It's going to be trouble. And the king says, well, you know, since you have been given wisdom from the gods to understand what this means, you're probably the right one to tell us what to do. And then he raised up Joseph and he put him in charge of now all of Egypt. And we know the king puts his, gives him his signet ring. He gives him all authority. Look at chapter 41, and we're going to begin in verse 41. Praise the Lord. Speak to us, Father God, by your Spirit. Strengthen us through your word, in Jesus' name. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride a chariot as his second in command, and men shouted before him, make way. Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift a hand or foot in all of Egypt. Pharaoh gave him the name Zephath Paneah and gave him the daughter of Potiphar, the priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Folks, I'm comparing also and showing you the similarities of Joseph's life to Jesus. Joseph is an Old Testament type and shadow of Jesus Christ himself. And here, as Jesus Christ also was rejected by his brothers, and Jesus Christ was also persecuted for righteousness, Joseph had done nothing wrong when they threw him into the prison. Jesus had done nothing wrong when they tried him for the sins of the world. Amen? Well, also, Joseph was lifted up by Pharaoh himself, the king or God of all the land, to be in charge of everything. Jesus Christ was lifted up, hallelujah, rose from the dead. He's seated at the right hand of God, and he says this now, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Amen. So we can see the parallels. We can see the similarity. And now Joseph's dream from way back is about to come to pass where he sees that he's been lifted up and all his brothers are going to come to him and have to bow down. Okay, this is the dream that he spoke, and it was part of the destiny that God had planned for his life for good things. Amen. Chapter 41, verse 56. When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And all the countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe in the whole world. Well, Joseph did what God has instructed him, gave him wisdom of what to do during the 7 years of an abundance. And out of all the cities all around Egypt, it'd be like, you know, praise God right now in all the cities around Winsboro, praise all the little towns in Crowville. There's the grain elevators, and there's, man, if you go down my street, before you get to the little light of Crowville, there's a big grain bin with a mountain of corn right there. So out of every city all around Egypt, all the fields around, they would gather the crops and store them in the cities. So in every city, in every town all around Egypt, there was massive grain bins, and the abundance was so abundantly blessed that Joseph's accountants couldn't even keep record. They quit counting how much grain they had, okay? But now the famine hits. And when the famine hits, it hits hard. And soon, man, there's all the people living in all those lands all around Egypt. They run out of food, and now who do they go to? They're able to come to Egypt and come to Joseph to buy grain to live. Not only was it affecting all the place around Egypt, but all the lands around them, so kings and people from other nations had to come to Joseph for their salvation. Are you with me? Jesus Christ, high and lifted up, and now all the world, praise the Lord, all the worlds from every land needs to come and receive salvation from Jesus Christ the King. He's the one that holds it in his hands. He's the one, praise the Lord, that we need to come to. There's no other way. At that time, there was no other way. No one else had it. There was no other grain. There was no other salvation. Everybody was dying unless they came to Joseph. And here it is today. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one can be right except coming through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 42, when Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, why do you just keep looking at each other? He continued, I have heard that there's grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some for us so that we may live and not die. Now the famine had spread all the way to where Jacob and his other sons were living, the 11 brothers, praise the Lord. The last one born into his household was Benjamin. Jacob figured Joseph to be dead, as that's what his brothers had told them. He said, hey, there's grain in Egypt. I'm sending y'all down. Here, we're sending you wealth, sending you money, sending you everything to go buy the grain we need to live. Praise God. So his brothers set out. Praise God. Then 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain from Egypt. But Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother, with the others, because he was afraid harm might come to him. So Israel's sons were among those that were going to buy grain. You know, He had Joseph and Benjamin was his last two. They were the sons born to Rachel, praise God. And then Joseph was, you know, sold off and gone, and they told Jacob he was dead. And now Benjamin, the youngest, is now his favorite, and he's protecting him, and he's watching over him. He doesn't want to let him go. He's afraid something might happen to him. So he keeps Benjamin with him. And the Bible goes on to say in chapter 42, they get to Egypt, and now they've come to buy food, and they have to come to Joseph. Verse 8 says, although Joseph recognized his brothers, they did not recognize him. Then he remembered his dreams about them and said, you are spies. You have come to see that our land is unprotected. So the brothers come to Joseph. Now Joseph looks like an Egyptian. He's dressed like an Egyptian. His hair's changed. His body's changed. He's dressed differently. He's like a leader of all of Egypt. And they've come into this foreign land and they don't recognize, but he recognizes his brothers. It touches his heart, but yet he wants to test them. He devises a plan to test their hearts and see where they are. And the Bible says they did not recognize him. Again, let me throw this parallel out to you, church. The first time that Jesus came, the Jews, his own brother, did not recognize him as their Messiah. Are you with me? Jesus comes to this earth as a babe, born a Jew. Born one of them into the Jewish household, raised up with Mary and Joseph. And you know, and at 30 years old, he begins to preach the word, okay? And his own brethren, his own nation, the Jews, did not recognize Christ as the Messiah. Here you see the parallel, okay? He comes to his brothers. They don't recognize him. He knows who they are, but they don't know him. He begins to accuse them of being spies as a test. Look at Genesis 42. Go with me now to verse 13. But they replied, your servants were 12 brothers. So now it's gotten to the point, man, if they don't get this food, they know all their family's gonna die. He's accusing them of coming into Egypt as spies to spy out the land to see where the weaknesses are so that they can go back and get their army and come attack Egypt for the grain. So he's accusing them, and they begin to share their heart. Your servants were 12 brothers, the sons of one man who lives in Canaan. The youngest is now with our father, and one is no more. So now the brothers are opening up truth to them, to Joseph. Hey, we're a close-knit family. Our father had 12 sons. The youngest, we have a younger brother who's still there. He's very close to our father, Jacob. There's one brother who's no more. The father's been grieving over him. And they're speaking this to the one who's standing there, who's the one they're saying is no more. Amen? Okay, so Joseph, so he's listening to all this, and he begins to question them. He's testing them. He's seeing where their heart is at this point. Praise the Lord. So he begins to call them spies, and they test him. They share his father. They're testing these words. He's saying, okay, if this is true, I'm going to see if you're just making up stories right now, lying to me, or you're telling me the truth, okay? I'll give y'all some grain, but I want you to go get that youngest brother and bring him to me. Joseph has an interest in his family still. He wants to know how his father's doing, and he wants to see this youngest brother who he's never met before. Amen? And he's tested them. He said, okay, if you're telling me the truth, it'll be so. You can go get this brother and bring him, and I'll lay high. Then I'll know you're telling me the truth and not just making up some story. And so he says, you know, okay. You know, at first he says, hey, I'll put you all in a prison and send one guy to go get the brother. Well, he softens up the next morning and says, okay, let me hold one of you, and I'll send y'all all back, and then y'all bring back the brother. So this is the plan, and as you read the story, you'll see they had brought silver to buy the grain for their families. They take the silver. He has his men pack all of their donkeys, pack all of their stuff, and load it down with grain. You know, they've got all these, you know, mules ready. They got stuff ready. They got to take it back because they got to feed all their families for a while. There's a severe famine. Nothing's growing. There is no food. So Joseph has his guys load them up, and then he also out of his love and compassion, he takes their silver, little silver pouches, and sticks it back in their sacks too. They don't know about it. And he holds Simeon. He holds one of them. He lets them watch his men bind Simeon and hold him and put him in the prison and said, go back and then bring me back this younger brother you say you have. Okay? So they go back, and by the time they get to Jacob, they fill Jacob with all the stories of this man they met named Joseph, who's, they didn't know his real name. This man they know who's in charge, and he's a very hard man, and he called us spies and all of this. And then they start dumping their grain out, and they see their pouches of silver. Well, rather than get excited that their money's still there, they get filled with fear. The Bible says they're full of fear because this leader of all of Egypt who has all these armies and stuff, now the grain's there, they could be accused of stealing it now. They're already been accused of being spies, and this worries Jacob. And then they start telling Jacob that he also wants us to bring Benjamin back. And Joseph's like, no way. Man, I lost. And Jacob's like, no way, I'm not sending Benjamin. I already lost Joseph. I'm not losing my youngest. And there's just no way. So they spend the time there and they begin to feed their families. But the famine is bad and soon the food runs out. Judah comes to his father Jacob. Says, Father, we need to go. Said, okay, go ahead. Said, no. I need to take Benjamin. No way. And then, but Judah convinced him. This man we're dealt with is a hard man. He's accusing us all of being spies. If we don't take Benjamin back, we'll be liars and we'll all be executed. And he convinces his father to finally let him. And Jacob's heart is just broken. He's just, you know, he's not speaking faith. He's speaking doubt. He's saying, hey, this, you know, I lost Joseph. Now it looks like I'm going to lose Benjamin. Simeon's already there. He doesn't know what's going to happen. But he finally convinces them and he lets them go. So they take Benjamin and now they're heading back to Egypt with Benjamin. And they have to go buy more food lest they die, lest their whole family, all their families die. So they start headed back and they've got Benjamin with them. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? You following the story? Hopefully y'all read it this week too. So we're, praise the Lord, we're on the same page. Praise God. Genesis chapter 43. Now they're on their second journey to Egypt. The first journey they come, they don't recognize the king, leader, Joseph as their brother. Now they're on the second journey. The famine is still very severe. Praise the Lord. This time they get back, and let's pick up the story in verse 11. Then their father Israel said to them, if it must be, then do this. Put some of the best products of the land in your bags and take them down to this man as a gift. A little balm, a little honey, some spices, some myrrh, some pistachio nuts and almonds. Take double the amount of silver with you, for you must return the silver that was put back into the mouths of your sacks. Perhaps it was a mistake. Take your brother also and go back to the man at once. And may God Almighty grant you mercy before the man so that he will let your brother and Benjamin come back with you. As for me, if I am bereaved, I am bereaved. So the men took the gifts and the double amount of silver and Benjamin also. They hurried down to Egypt and presented themselves to Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, take these men to my house, slaughter an animal, and prepare dinner. We're going to eat at noon. So now he sees his youngest brother. His heart's just moved with compassion. He tells his leaders, hey, go prepare a meal. I'm bringing them all to my house, okay? So this is not just some ordinary group coming from a distant land to buy grain. I mean, this leader of all of Egypt is offering to open up his own home and let them eat there, okay? Well, they don't take it as that. They take it as, oh my, what's going to happen? Are we being brought to the slaughter? Are we going to be killed now, okay? So praise the Lord. He brings them into his home. It's not customary for Egyptians to eat with shepherds, so they can't eat in the same room. You know, praise the Lord, just like it wasn't customary for Jews to eat with Gentiles, they couldn't eat in the same room. Well, these Egyptian Gentiles, non-Jews, they can't eat with them. So Joseph has the table set, and he does something. He sets them down in order according to their ages. Now, he's not supposed to know this, but he's their brother. He sets them down in order according to the ages around a big table. And Benjamin, praise the Lord, when they bring the food out, Benjamin's portion is the biggest. You know, five times more than all the rest. He wants to bless this younger brother he's never met. And praise God, the younger brother wasn't in on this thing when they put him in the pit anyway, right? So he's blessing this younger brother, and he's showing compassion and forgiveness. Here, these guys that put him in the pit, that were going to kill him, that sold him off into slavery, now Joseph has the power and authority to kill them all. He could bring them up and have them all executed. But what does he show instead? The ones who rejected him, the ones who crucified him, the ones who harmed him, he shows love and compassion just like Jesus Christ has done for us. Amen. Amen? Praise God. While we were yet sinners, he loved us. And while these guys were yet the ones who put him in the pit, the ones who sold him away from his whole family, away from his father who loved him so much. Praise God, took away his coat of many colors, you know. And now he's off in this distant land. He's been in a dungeon for a few years. He's been in a dungeon. He's been, you know, persecuted for righteousness' sake. He's had all kind of trouble. Now he's lifted up, and he could easily let those vengeance come to mind and have them all killed. Instead, he invites them to his personal home. And he's about to feed them all. Praise the Lord. Let's look at the story again. Praise the Lord. Chapter 43. And go with me to 26. When Joseph came home, they presented to him the gifts they had brought to the house, and they bowed down before him to the ground. There it is again. Hear the dream coming to pass, all the brothers bowing down to Joseph, just like he saw many years earlier. He asked them how they were and said, "How is your aged father you told me about? Is he still living?" They replied, "Your servant, our father, is alive and well." And they bowed low to pay him honor. As he looked out and saw his brother Benjamin, his own mother's son. See, Joseph and Benjamin were the only two born to Rachel. Remember the one that Jacob had to work 7 years for? Praise the Lord. "Is this your youngest brother, the one you told me about?" He said, "God be gracious to you, my son." Deeply moved at the sight of his brother, Joseph hurried out and looked for a place to weep. He went into a private room and wept there. Verse 31, church. After he had washed his face, he came out and controlling himself said, "Serve the food." They served him by himself, the brothers by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with them by themselves, because Egyptians could not eat with Hebrews, for that is detestable to Egyptians. The men had been seated before him in the order of their ages, from the firstborn to the youngest, and they looked at each other with astonishment. When portions were served to them from Joseph's table, Benjamin's portion was five times as much as anyone else. So they feasted and drank freely with him. I bet that was, imagine that. Put yourself there, sitting at that table, the brothers, and then you see Benjamin's plate, man. And they were looking at each other, you know, why are we here? Why are we at this guy's own personal house? Why is he letting us have a feast here? And why is he doing this for Benjamin, the youngest? And they don't know what's happening. Then, praise the Lord, the Bible goes on to tell the story in chapter 44. Okay? It says, he loaded them up with grain again. He's sending the food to feed his own family over there. He loaded them up with grain. And again, he told his officials, take the little pouches of silver that they brought and put it back in each of their sacks. But then he said this, also take my cup, my favorite silver cup, and put it in the youngest one's sack. Okay? He's setting them up to test their hearts. Praise the Lord. Okay? There's tests coming. There's trial coming. You know, church, you have a destiny and a calling. I tell folks all the time, I tell you, new guy, you know, you'll be tested in the area of your weakness. You'll be tested there. You know, your drug of choice will be right in the glove box of somebody's car you're washing at the car wash, and it'll be your favorite drug. You will be tested in the areas of your weakness, and at some point, you'll be retested until you're able to pass the test. Amen? Hello? We've got to go through, and God wants to strengthen you, but in these tests and trials, they produce character and produce perseverance. Okay? We want to follow Christ. We want to take his strength he's given us by his word, speak his word, quote his word, and use his word in our daily circumstances and overcome the enemy and overcome the world. Amen? But in order to get strong in anything, you have to face resistance. Praise God. My wife had just had a shoulder surgery. She's strengthening her arm, but Brian has given her different drills with resistance that she's got to go through, some light weights to get it stronger and then heavier. There's resistance that you have to work with to make you stronger in anything. Praise the Lord. So God wants to bless you. He wants to take you to your destiny. And there's some resistance all around that you have to use his strength and step forward and push through. Amen. So praise God. Here's another test that they're going through. Joseph has set up, and they get a little ways, and he sends his army, his chariot, and they start accusing, hey, what have y'all done? Y'all have taken something. You've taken the silver cup right off the very table that our leader has let you in his home and taken. It's gone. It's missing. Who's got it? And they're like, no way. We didn't do that. If that happened to us, man, we'll just be your slaves forever. No way. And they start emptying the sacks one at a time from eldest to youngest. And sure enough, it's found in who? Benjamin's sack. Jacob's last son. His prize, the one he's so worried about losing. And they say, man, you know, we've got to take it. Now they're all grieving. All the brothers are grieving. They're like, oh my. And then they start confessing and speaking. They get back. They turn them around. They're not going home with the grain. They turn them around. They bring them back to Joseph. Now there's going to be a trial. There's going to be some execution. There's going to be some slavery. There's going to be some trouble here. And they come back and Joseph overhears them talking with a repentant heart. This has come upon us because of the thing we did to our brother Joseph way in the past. You know, we're coming back, it's coming on us, and now we're all going to be slaves. Let's look at, praise God, the story. Genesis 44, and go with me all the way to verse 33. Now then, please let your servant remain here as my Lord's slave in place of the boy, and let the boy return to his brothers. How can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? No, do not let me see the misery that would come upon my father. So now they're willing, take me instead of Benjamin. Before, they were like, hey, let's take this favorite son of dad, Joseph. Let's put him in a pit. Let's kill him. Let's sell him off. You know, then they sell him off. Now their heart is changed. They've been through some trials. They've been faced some things. And now there's willing Judah saying, hey, Joseph, let Benjamin go back. I'm willing to give my life for him. We took Joseph's life away from him. We've repented. Our heart is changed. Now I'm willing to give my life for my brother. Are you with me? No greater love does a man have than this, than to lay down his life for his friend. Amen? Isn't that the greatest love there is? Isn't that what Christ did for us? He laid down his life for you. And now, praise God, Joseph's brothers are willing to lay down their life for their brother. Amen? So you can see a true heart of repentance. Because this is real. This king has the authority to do with them whatever. Amen. So when he's saying that, he means it because he thinks it's about to happen. You know, praise the Lord. How about you? You know, are you willing to lay down your life for someone else. Lay down your life for your spouse, for your son, for your daughter, you know, for your child. You know, you lay down your life for others and helping them. How about, you know, lay down what you do and how you live in order to be an example to show others Christ? Lay down some things that, you know, you think is good and right, and you think is blessed, and it's hindering or hurting other people. Are you willing to lay down some of your selfishness in order to benefit someone else? Hello? I mean, it says no greater love has man to lay down his life. Well, if you're laying down your life, I mean, how many of us selfishly wouldn't lay down some of our own wants and gave away our marriage? Gave away our children over selfishness. Gave away, if we're willing to lay down our life, can we be willing to lay down some things that would bless our spouse or our children or our job or our employer? You know, how grateful are we for the life that we've been given, that we would serve someone else, laying down our wants and desires in order to bless others? Come on now. If as Christianity and Christ, follow Christ, if I'm willing to lay my life down, wouldn't I be willing to lay down a cigarette so my son don't follow me in this? Amen. Hello? Now, come on, let's make it hit home in some little practical things. Wouldn't he be willing, if I'm, willing to follow Christ, that others might follow me following Christ? I challenge you guys to say this. To be walking with Christ in a way that you can say to your children or your friends, follow me and you'll be following Christ. Come on. Would that be arrogant and wrong to say, if you follow me, you'll be following Christ? No, don't we want to live that way where we're following Christ and anybody who's following us will be following Christ because we're walking in his steps? Can you say to your own kids, follow me and you'll be following Christ? Follow my wife and I in our marriage, and we'll be demonstrating to you a godly example what covenant commitment is for you and your future marriage. Follow us in how we live in our, you know, going to church and being faithful, reading our word, praying together. Follow me and you'll be following Christ. Don't we want to live that way? Is that too radical to say, Andrew? Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's live that way. Come on, if Christ is willing to lay down his life and Judah was willing to lay down his life for his brother, how many little stuff can we lay down in order to help someone else? Amen. Amen? But it's not like, it's kind of more now because Christ is so good. I want to follow you. And it's a joy following you. And as I'm following you, I'm hoping others are coming behind and following too. Because I'm leading you to what's great and what's fun and what's blessed. It's a joy. There's some trials ahead. You got to go through some stuff, but it's blessed. Let's finish. How did this thing end? So they come, and now we see in verse 33, take me instead of him. That's true repented heart. Amen. Chapter 45, and if you would, open your Bible there, take out your phone. I want you to follow this along with me. This is the meat of the message here. Now Joseph's going to finally, they have a repented heart and he sees them. He's tested them a couple times. He knows they have a repented heart and he's going to show himself to them. Amen. He's going to reveal himself. He hadn't yet. Chapter 45, 1. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants and he cried out, everyone leave my presence. So Joseph was there with no one except him and his brothers. He wept so loudly the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still living? But his brothers were not able to answer him. They were terrified in his presence. They were wondering why it was so weird. They had come to his house. They'd gotten this meal. They sat in order. Benjamin got all of this. They're wondering what's going on. And now he says, I am Joseph. They're speechless. They're terrified. They don't say a thing. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. Amen. Joseph was saying, hey, it all worked out for glory. God took what you meant for evil and he turned it around and he used it for his plan to save lives, not to hurt lives. For 2 years now, there's been a famine in the land. And for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing or reaping. So they were only 2 years into this 7-year famine. They had another 5 years to go. So it's going to be tough. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve you as a remnant on the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Verse 8. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler over all of Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children, your grandchildren, your flocks, your herds, and all you have, I will provide for you. Jehovah Jireh, I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all belong will be destitute. Now, folks, this guy, what he said has so far has happened. So now they're willing to believe him. There's got 5 more years of famine. They have to plan ahead. So he's invited them to come where the grain is, and they're willing to go because they know and have heard it. There's 5 more years and people are dying everywhere. So they're coming to Joseph and coming where there's salvation. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell your father about the honor recorded to me in Egypt and about everything you've seen, and bring my father down here quickly. Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept, and Benjamin embraced him weeping. And he kissed all of his brothers and wept over them. Afterwards, his brothers talked with him. Verse 16. When the news reached Pharaoh's palace that Joseph's brothers had come, Pharaoh and all his officials were pleased. So now they're saying, look, Pharaoh makes it with Joseph. Send carts, send grain. They sent blessing upon blessing back to Jacob. They sent new carts from Egypt to bring the whole household. Hey, go get Jacob. Go get all your wives. Get your children. Get your grandchildren. Here's a bunch of food and grain for your trip and everything. Bring them back here and you're going to live with me and you're going to be blessed during this famine. It's going to be blessed and you're going to stay here and live with us. And so, folks, we go through. This is how the story ends in Genesis. From Genesis, from 37 all the way to 50, is this story of Joseph. So, man, they take these carts, they head back, Jacob and all of his family. They say between Jacob and the 12 sons and their grand, you know, they listed in the Bible by names, son, born to son, son, all the way through the patriarch, through the males. Okay, so there was about 66 to 70 males in all, just the sons and grandsons. Then you add their wives and their daughters and their granddaughters. You're talking about 250 people or so, all packing up carts, moving everything they had and moving to the land of Egypt, where they had a place set for them in Goshen. Okay, so now, praise God, on this second time, this second coming, when they came, Joseph revealed himself. But it wasn't without testing. Let me prophesy to you from the word. Okay? The first time the Jews as a whole didn't recognize Jesus. Many of them did. When Peter got up to preach on the day of Pentecost, it was Jews all around there celebrating the feast. And 3,000 were saved. So many Jews did get saved and are still being saved. But as a whole, as a nation, they rejected the Messiah. They didn't recognize him for who he is, okay? But praise God, then there's coming a time at Jesus' second coming. The second time they came back and come to Egypt, then Joseph revealed himself. Well, at Jesus' second coming, praise God, that he's going to reveal himself to the Jews who missed him on the first time. they're going through a trouble. They call it Jacob's trouble, the 7 years of tribulation. After the rapture, there's tribulation on this earth. During that trial, the Bible says in Zechariah 12:10, I believe it is, Zechariah 12, they're going to look at the one they pierced and mourn for him. They're going to remember they pierced him. They're going to mourn for him. And Israel, praise the Lord, is going to be saved as well. Hallelujah. Not at the first coming, but at the second. Amen? Are you with me? So the prophetic story of Joseph not only shows a true, real story that happened in the nation of Israel, but it also shows a prophetic time clock of what's going to happen at Jesus' return. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So it goes on and it tells us they moved there. They got to the land of Goshen. Jacob got to see Joseph again, hug him. He got to see his two boys, Ephraim and Manasseh. Manasseh was actually born first, but when Jacob laid his hands on him, he put his right hand on Ephraim and his left on Manasseh. And Ephraim got the blessing of the firstborn because Jacob prophesied. Joseph said, no, you switch your hands. He said, no, let it be so. Ephraim's going to be greater than Manasseh. They're both going to be blessed. Manasseh means I forget. He forgot his troubles. Ephraim was born second to Joseph, twice fruitful. And now Jacob is proclaiming, you two are going to be like my sons now. Instead of Joseph's sons, praise God, prophetically, you're going to be my sons. And Joseph, whatever other kids you have will be yours. But they're going to have an inheritance along with the 12 tribes. And people are going to proclaim this hundreds of years from now. May they're going to speak blessing over their own kids and at weddings and at births and stuff. May you be like Ephraim and Manasseh. That's how blessed Ephraim and Manasseh were. And that blessing was true. Jacob spoke that over them. He laid hands on all of his boys and prophesied over each one. Some of them blessed and some of them had some struggle for things they had done. Jesus hadn't come yet. And he spoke that over them. And praise God. Do you know Joseph said this? Jacob ended up dying. They had a big caravan. They went back and they buried Jacob with Abraham and Isaac. Abraham and Sarah were buried together, Isaac and Rebecca, and Jacob would bury there with Leah, okay? And then Joseph tells his brothers, look, promise me this. When I die, I want you to carry me back to the land of my fathers, the promised land, and bury me there. Well, church, if you want to read the rest of the story, it starts in Exodus. A few kings down the road, they no longer remember Joseph. And these Israelites were getting too populated. So now they decided to turn them into slaves. They were in slaves there in Egypt for 400 years after this. And sure enough, when Moses came and delivered them and brought them out, they carried the bones of Joseph back to the promised land. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, different ways of preaching, teaching here. Sometimes we have prophetic words. Sometimes we're teaching new covenant grace out of the new covenant. But praise God, all the stories of the old are there for us to learn, and every one of them point to Christ. I've enjoyed this time with you over these 4 weeks teaching the story of Joseph. And praise God, I encourage you and challenge you, and I'll put it out there in advertising too, that we'll be going through our Go Deep Grace messages the month of November and a couple of weeks into December. And want you to bring a friend for that on Wednesday night. Amen. This coming Wednesday, on the Lord's Day, hallelujah, they call it Halloween. It's the day the Lord has made. Come and be a part. Tyler's going to be preaching right here. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Lord, we give you praise and glory for teaching us through the story of Joseph, of your forgiveness and your love. Bless each and every home, every household. I speak blessing over minds, bodies, spirit right now. Lord God, equip your saints for the work of your ministry. Encourage each and every one to be an example to their family, their loved ones, and their coworkers, their friends. Lord, let this grow out in the spirit of evangelism to reach others, to tell others of your love, to bring others with them. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, y'all have a great day. We love you.